miles an hour. Temperatures were in the upper 80s to low or upper 70s to low 80s. Summertime heat and humidity will continue across the Midwest for the next couple days as southerly winds blow ahead of a slow-moving low-pressure system in the central plains. Showers and thunderstorms will develop again this afternoon and track northeast across the Midwest. Small hail and gusty winds are possible with stronger storms across portions of central and southeast Illinois later this afternoon. Highs ranging from the upper 70s across the northern Iowa to near 90 degrees across southern Indiana and western Kentucky today. With low temperatures tonight, they'll range from the mid-50s across Iowa to the mid-60s across western Kentucky. Partly sunny for the rest of the day around Champaign and Urbana. Scattered showers, thunderstorms possible, the high 88 degrees. Wind gusts up to 25 miles an hour this afternoon, with a slight chance of rain. Mostly sunny or mostly cloudy skies for tonight. Scattered showers and thunderstorms, the low 62 degrees. Tomorrow's forecast, showers, thunderstorms are likely, the high 82 degrees. Cloudy skies for tomorrow night, a chance of showers, the low 52 degrees. Cloudy and cooler Saturday with a chance of showers, the high 68 degrees. Winds up to 15 miles an hour. Afternoon gusts up to 25. Cloudy skies Saturday evening, a chance of showers, the low 52. Mostly cloudy skies. Sunday with a chance of showers, the high 62, mostly cloudy Sunday night, a slight chance of showers with a low of 48, and partly sunny Monday, the high 62. Monday night through Wednesday, we'll expect partly cloudy skies, lows down to 45 with the highs around 65. Right now, 85 on Friends Plaza. It's 82 degrees in Danville, and at Willard Airport, we have 84 degrees. It's 12:40. You're listening to the Afternoon Magazine. I'm Jeff Bossert. Outgoing Chicago Mayor Richard Daley has more than $1 million in his campaign account. When he retires, he can take all of it with him for personal use. The mayor is not saying if he will, but it'd be perfectly legal if he does. Many other Illinois politicians have exercised that right. Sam Hudzik has this story.
Daley last month reported more than $1.1 million in his campaign account. Under state law, he can close it out whenever he wants and take all that cash with him into retirement. But when I asked Daley last week if he plans to do that, he had no interest in answering.
Yeah, I don't know yet.
The mayor may not know yet, but it's not like this possibility has crept up on him. In fact, prior to a 1998 state law, all politicians in Illinois could use their political accounts as personal ATMs.
It was the Wild West before this ethical change in Illinois campaign spending. One could convert their campaign fund for personal use if they paid income tax.
That's Kirk Dillard, a Republican state senator who sponsored the 1998 law, along with then-state Senator Barack Obama.
We came along with a major, major piece of legislation. But one of the sticking points was the personal use exemption of campaign funds.
Dillard says he'd hoped to ban all personal use of campaign cash, but some powerful members of the General Assembly, Dillard says, had no interest in giving up what they'd assumed would be a retirement account. So a compromise was needed, a loophole, if you will. Rupert Borgsmiller with the State Board of Elections explains.
When they passed this legislation, they grandfathered all of the candidates in so that the money that they had as of June 30th, 98, could be converted for personal use.
And that's why Mayor Daley is allowed to take that $1 million-plus.
If he wants to, he can.
And quite a few politicians have written themselves checks from their campaign accounts, though they aren't too interested in talking about it. Whether they took $10,000, like state representative-turned-lobbyist Vince Persico, or close to $600,000, like former state representative Ralph Caparelli. Former state senator Walter Dudich took more than $130,000. He refuses to comment because he says he's just trying to enjoy his retirement. Many other former politicians just didn't return my calls.
I'm shocked. Frankly, I'm shocked.
That sarcasm, courtesy of Cindy Canary, the head of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, an activist group that tries to track political spending. Canary notes that it's hard to get a good idea of the total amount withdrawn by politicians for personal use because there's no uniform way they're required to report such expenses to the state election board. A search on the board's website does find more than $2 million in personal draws, but there's no question the real total is much higher than that. Some politicians, current and retired, keep their political accounts open and use them to pay for cell phone bills, airplane tickets, and dinner meetings. Canary says the somewhat blurry distinction between political and personal expenses actually came up during the 1998 General Assembly debate over these rules.
One of the legislators said, well, what if I buy a red, white, and blue shirt to march in the 4th of July parade? That would be for a political purpose. But then I get home and it's hot and I drink a beer, but I forget to take off my red, white, and blue shirt. Then it's personal use.
For her part, Canary does not think politicians should take the money for personal use, whether they're entitled to or not.
I believe that people have given candidates campaign contributions to further their political careers, their ideas, their philosophies, and not necessarily to buy a retirement condo.
Mayor Daley probably doesn't need the $1.1 million from his campaign account to buy a retirement condo. He's earned a healthy salary over the years and will soon start getting a pension of about $180,000 a year. Add to that the income he may collect for giving speeches, and Daley can likely afford to put his campaign cash to other uses.
I could very well see the mayor, you know, dedicating money to a bike path.
The mayor could also keep his campaign account open for as long as he wants and continue to dole it out to candidates he supports, an easy way for a retired politician to make sure current politicians return his calls. I'm Sam Hudzik.
It's 1 year and one tax increase later, and Illinois still faces a staggering $8 billion debt. Governor Pat Quinn has been harping on lawmakers to borrow money to pay off that debt all at once. They're not exactly jumping at the chance. He recently gave them an ultimatum, either approve borrowing or tax money to cities could be cut off. But as Illinois Public Radio's Luke Runyon reports, lawmakers themselves would have to give the governor that authority.
Quinn has been trying to coax lawmakers into supporting a plan for months. At a press conference in Chicago, Quinn points out the problem.
We already owe the money.
And his solution.
I think this is just plain old common sense for having the state to do it at a lower interest than having private entities pay high interest.
But it comes with a catch. Quinn now suggests money that goes to cities and towns be put on hold until the state can start paying its bills, with the millions saved from such a move used to chip away at the backlog. But he doesn't have the power to completely cut off those payments. He would need lawmakers to grant him that authority.
I'm not sure that's the best tactic in the world.
That's John Spring, mayor for the city of Quincy. His modestly sized city would lose out on about $1 million this year if Quinn's plan becomes a reality.
We've already shared in everybody's pain, and quite frankly, those are our dollars. Those are dollars that we collect for the state, and then we share in the revenue when it comes back to us.
Spring has been pulling aside the lawmakers who represent his town to plead his case, not for the borrowing plan, but to tell them not to touch the funds he says Quincy desperately needs. The state collects income tax revenue and distributes a portion monthly to local governments. Quinn's threat led some lawmakers to characterize it as blackmail. Quinn rebuffs that idea.
Nothing of the sort.
Quinn says he's in a mad dash to borrow before June 30th, the last day to lock in a federal match for health care programs. So he's looking for any leftover dollars to maximize the match. If he doesn't get the borrowing plan, he has talked about diverting local government's share of tax revenue.
We're talking about holding it up for a couple of months so we can get this extra federal money that's available to Illinois, but we have to provide the match in order to get it.
Republican Senator Ron Sandak of Downers Grove is a former mayor. He says ever since the governor publicly entertained the suspension, his phone has been ringing off the hook and emails have been pouring in from the local officials in his district, but they're not pledging support for borrowing.
Mayors, village presidents are pretty smart, sophisticated people. They didn't get there by falling off a turnip truck. Those dollars are important to them, but the idea that they're going to go beat up their legislators to borrow more money doesn't make sense in the long run, because it's not helping our financial state environment at all. It's kicking that can down the road.
Even Quinn's fellow Democrats in the legislature say his strategy is all wrong. Senator Bill Hayne of Alton says the calls he's receiving from mayors aren't swaying his vote on a borrowing plan. He's already in favor of some amount of borrowed cash. He says dragging mayors into the debate is unfair.
We don't need acrimonious exchanges between our local leaders and the state leaders. I would advise the governor's staff to back off of that.
No matter the size and scope of a borrowing package, it still has to jump through a number of hoops. Legislators in both chambers must pass it. The plan would also require additional votes, meaning some bipartisan support would be necessary. Having angered mayors who let their lawmakers know their concerns, Quinn may have to change his strategy once again. I'm Luke Runyon.
Some Christian believers say the end of the world is near, May 21st to be exact.
With all the proofs that God has given us and all the signs, I am absolutely certain it is going to happen.
Others say the date may be off, but wars, earthquakes, and recession are all signs of a coming apocalypse. Doomsday prophecies later on All Things Considered from NPR News.
Today from 4 to 7 on AM 580 and from 5 to 7 on FM 90.9.
The Writer's Almanac for Thursday. It's